Would you turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew? And as you find Matthew chapter 20, we're going to finish up on a direction we started last week. You recall that we've been talking about how God made you to make a difference. And you may recall that we have a purpose. Do you know what your purpose is in the Lord? Say it together. You know it. My purpose is to what? Glorify God. You are to glorify God in who you are and all you do. We're in a series that we've been talking about the different things of our purpose. And we know that our purpose is to glorify God. And we're to glorify Him through worship. That's our first call. We're to glorify Him through fellowship with one another. Fellowship with God, of course. Fellowship with each other in Christ. We are to serve Him and glorify Him by becoming more and more like Christ Jesus. And we are to glorify Him by serving others. We were reminded that as we serve the Lord our God, we are serving one another. And as we serve one another, we are serving the Lord our God. So we started this last week, and we know that God made us to make a difference. We're not just supposed to be. We're supposed to become in Christ Jesus. We're not just to be consumers, but we're to be making a contribution to the kingdom of God. We're created and we are called to serve the Lord our God. That is your fourth purpose in glorifying God. And God gave us the greatest model of all in Christ Jesus. Our Lord Jesus said that in order for us to find our life, we must first, give it away. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? We're going to read Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 and following. But Jesus called them to Himself. Now He was talking about His disciples, those of His inner group, and He said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." What does it take to be used by God? Have you ever wondered, well, what do I need to be for God to use me? What do I need to do for God to use me? He said that in order for us to find our life, we need to first give it away. There are three things we're talking about today and that we started last week. Three things to be used like Jesus. Three things to serve like Jesus. First of all, being available. Again, we started that last Sunday. Secondly, being grateful. We'll talk about that today. And third, be faithful. Now you're sitting there going, you know, I think I could do all of these. Or at least I could try. Yes, you can. And with God's help, you can do all three. Would you pray with me as we seek the heart of the Father? Lord, we are grateful for Your word. It brings us, Father, closer to You. It shows us what You're like. It shows us how to emulate You. It convicts our hearts. It directs our abilities and our service. And we ask, God, that this day, that Your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts that we might truly want to be available to serve You. Lord, that we would truly be grateful that we have the opportunity to serve You. And Lord, that we would be faithful to serve You. We thank You for Your word. Would You bring it closer to our hearts that we might be obedient to the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in His name that we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Serving like Jesus, we started last week, said it means being available. Now, You recall that literally following this verse that we just read, and we read it last week, that Jesus was leaving Jericho. He was headed to Jerusalem. And you remember there were two blind men on the side of the road. There was a great crowd, you recall? And it said that as they were walking down the road, that these two blind men did what? Do you recall? They cried out to Jesus and they said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy, have mercy. And what did Jesus do? Did he just keep on walking? Did he tell one of his disciples, he says, you know, I'm really busy now. He said, one of you guys go check on these men. Is that what he did? I love what the scripture says he did. What did he do? It says he stopped and he called to the men and said, what is it that you want? What is it you want me to do? Listen, folks, this example by Christ Jesus is one we've got to remember. If you want to be used by God, if you want to serve God, you must be willing to be interrupted in your endeavors. Let God interrupt what's going on. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28, you recall, says that you never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you have something that will help their need today. You don't say, come back later. You say, I'm going to help you today. So your availability, dear friends, is crucial to serving God. Your availability is crucial. And it's so crucial that Satan works overtime to keep you busy so that you won't be available. Have you ever noticed that your life isn't usually filled with bad things? It's just filled. Amen? Can I get an amen on that one? Is your life full? Have you ever noticed? Do you remember, you know, when I was a kid, we had baseball practice every now and then. Today, kids have baseball practice every day, it seems. They've got something every day. And if they're not involved in this sport or that sport or this sport and that sport and this sport, they're involved in all kinds of activities, whether it's at school or at church or wherever it is. We are so busy running from here to there that we can hardly catch a breath. And I'm going to tell you that is indeed one of the tools of Satan to keep us from serving God. It's not that things are bad and that the activities are wrong. Folks, you're just so filled with activities, you don't have time to serve God in any capacity. God wants us to be careful of our busyness. Your availability is crucial, and Satan will work overtime to keep you busy. There are three very common distractions and barriers to being available. I want to talk about those this morning. The first one is self-centeredness. I'm too busy with my stuff right now. You know what? Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says this. It says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Folks, do you realize that when we come to Christ, when we come to the Lord, our life is no longer our own? It belongs to the Lord. And the scripture says that we belong to one another. Remember, we said that last week. We belong to each other. And whenever you see a need right in front of you, whenever you see something revealed to you that is a need, do you know what that is? That is an opportunity that God is giving you to serve. God's activity around you in helping people is a call to be involved in ministry with God the Father. He's giving you the opportunity to practice your serve. The number one enemy of compassion, dear friends, is not hardness of heart. It's busyness. No, I'm not saying that hardness of heart isn't real. It is. And there are many with a hard heart. But I'm going to tell you, there are many more people who don't have a hard heart but are just so busy they can't be bothered to help. We just get too busy. So busy we don't have time to serve. I heard somebody say that we need to be careful not to hang a do not disturb sign on our hearts. Do not disturb me, God. Do not disturb me, people. I'm busy. Real servants don't mind being interrupted because their agenda is God's agenda. And if God's agenda is being accomplished, there is nothing else we should want to do. Amen? We need to stop seeing the things around us as interruptions and ask ourselves when something is brought to our attention and say, what is God doing here? Listen, folks, are you listening? We need, when something happens around us, to say, God, what are you trying to show me? Lord, what are you revealing to me? How do you want me to be involved in what you're showing me? A second barrier to availability is perfectionism. Now, let me explain that just a little bit. How many of you have said, you know, I would do it, but it's just not right now. It's just not really the best of times. It's really not a good time. I don't have quite that amount of money in my bank account. It's not good right now. I've got other things going on. And we're always putting things off. And we say that, you know, when it's all just right, when things settle down, then I'll start serving God. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this because every one of us are guilty. When things get a little better, that's when I'm going to start serving. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4, because it speaks to this very thing. It says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Do you understand what he's saying? It's saying that somebody who's watching the weather is going to say, well, I can't get out there and work today. It's too windy. I can't get out there and work today. It might rain. How many times have we made excuses for not serving God? In other words, if you wait for the perfect conditions, you will never do anything. You will never serve God if you wait for the perfect time to serve God. Real servants, godly servants, people who love the Lord, do the best they can with what they have in the moment that they have. Folks, I don't know about you, but it doesn't have to be perfect to serve God. You don't have to be perfect. Now, I'm not saying don't do your best. I'm not saying don't give God the best that you can do. But if God only used perfect people under perfect conditions, let me ask you, what would ever get done? Can I ask all the perfect people to come line up right over here? I've got some chores for you. Well, then can the rest of us help since there's no perfect ones to help? I'm going to tell you this, God loves using imperfect people. Do you know how I know? Because there aren't any perfect ones. That's the only kind that God has to use. Imperfect people. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 4 reminds us, don't wait for the perfect conditions. They're never going to happen. That's just an excuse. Things are going to never fully settle down, can I tell you? How many of you remember the little round wooden coins or metal coins that got passed out years ago, and it said on it, round, or it said to it, T-U-I-T. Anybody remember those? Because somebody says, you always said that when you get around to it, you're going to do this. Here's your round to it. I wish I'd have had a bunch of those to hand out today. I'll do it when I get around to it. Listen, if you're going to wait for the perfect conditions, it's never going to happen. Agreed? Folks, we need to serve God where we are, with what we have, and we need to do it right now. Be obedient in the moment. God calls you to be obedient in the moment, not tomorrow. Tomorrow is disobedience. Today is the day to serve the Lord. The third barrier to availability is materialism. In Luke chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is he saying? You cannot serve God and money. Now, I want you to notice this. Jesus said this. And I want you to know this, that Jesus did not say, listen, he did not say that you should not serve two masters. What did he say? You cannot serve two masters. He said you're going to love one and be faithful to him and hate the other. You have to decide. Do you want to live for worldly riches or heavenly riches? Some people work 70, 80 hours a week trying to build their kingdom on earth when they need to be serving the Lord Jesus and their families and building a kingdom in heaven. And I know we're all guilty of trying to make sure that we've got enough in the bank. But I wonder, how much is enough? How much is enough? Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. Once you become a believer, dear friends, you need to ask yourself, am I going to be a wealth builder for the kingdom or a wealth builder on earth? Which is it going to be? Serving, friends, serving like Christ means being available. So we go to our second thing, and that is serving like Jesus means being grateful. Grateful for the opportunity to serve. John chapter 11 records the story of Lazarus. You remember the story of Lazarus when Jesus waited for 4 days and he went to the tomb and he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. We know that. We know the story looking at it from this side of it. But as he's standing out there preparing to call Lazarus out of the grave, he stopped and he prayed. And I want you to look and see what Jesus prayed. In John 11, verses 41 and 42, it says, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. And then he says, I'm saying this for the sake of those who are around me, Father. He knew that the Lord, his Father, heard him. But he said, I thank you. In other words, what is Jesus saying? He's saying, I want these that are surrounding me right now to know that I am grateful to you, my Father, and I am grateful that you hear me. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Now let me ask you, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Was he not God himself? Jesus didn't have to say thank you to anybody. He didn't have to say thank you to anyone. And yet, his heart of an attitude of gratefulness filled everything that he did. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What a wonderful example we have in Christ to make sure that we are grateful to our God. All through the Word of God, it tells us to be thankful. Psalms 100 says, serve the Lord with sadness. What? Gladness. I'm glad some of you have better ears. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Oh, I have to go to church today. Can't go fishing. Can't work in the yard. Can't do this, can't do that. Listen, if you have an opportunity to serve the Father, if you have an opportunity to serve the Lord, what a difference it makes to serve Him with gladness, amen? How many of you run a business or a home? Let me see your hands. A business or a home? Come on, mamas, raise your hand. Yeah. Now, how many of you would love to have an employee that served with gladness instead of rudeness? Ingratitude? Grumpiness? Can you imagine how many customers you would have if every time they came to the counter and encountered your unhappy employee? What about your children? Don't you love it when they say, yes, Mommy, I'll clean my room. Yes, Dad, I'll wash the car. I'm grateful to get to use it every now and then. By the way, I had a little money left over last week. You want me to put some gas in it? I'm not saying it'll ever happen. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be awesome if it did? If we as a family, if we as employers know what it means to have people that will serve in gladness and the difference it makes literally in our homes and our customer base. What about the father of the Christian family? Serve the Lord with gladness. Also in Psalms 118, verse 24, it says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Listen, it doesn't say that every day that you're alive is a day that you just go, "Woohoo, ain't life grand." But what it's saying is, this is the day that the Lord has made and has given to me. And even though this has been rough, I'm going to be glad that I get a chance to serve my Lord today. After all, why do we serve God? Do we just serve Him because it's our duty? And yes, it is your duty. Go back and read Romans. It is our duty to serve God. He has done so much for us. But we don't serve Him because it's our duty. We serve Him because it's our delight. Because we love the Lord our God. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, God saved us. Listen, 2 Timothy 1, if you haven't, write this verse down if it's not in your outline. I don't remember if it is or not. But 2 Timothy 1:9 says that God saved us and that God chose us not because we deserved it. Amen. But because it was His loving plan that I wouldn't have to die forever. That was God's plan. Our Lord has saved us. He's delivered us from our sins. And out of gratefulness for that, out of love for Him for that, we serve Him with gladness. Now, just as there are barriers to our availability, there are also some barriers to being grateful. Let me just share a couple of those real quickly. First of all, comparing and criticizing will eat up your gratitude. Romans 14:4 says, "What right do you have to criticize someone else's servant? Only their Lord can decide if they're doing right." In other words, you know what this is saying? It says, get your nose back in your own basket. Don't worry about what others are doing. You take care of your own business. My boys learned a little phrase early in their life. They learned about Nunya. They learned that some things are Nunya business. You worry about you, I'll take care of your brother. You worry about you, I'll take care of this. Their mom would say, you worry about you, I'll take care of daddy. Listen, we need to understand that we are responsible for our actions and what we do. The second barrier to gratitude is wrong motivation. Matthew 6:1 from the CEV says that Jesus said, when you do good deeds, don't try to show off. You won't get rewarded from your Father in heaven. Don't be doing things because you're going, ooh, can't wait to see what God's going to give me for this one. Self-promotion, narcissism has no place in the kingdom of God. Folks, servanthood and narcissism, servanthood and self-promotion just don't mix. If you want to be like Jesus, have an humble heart and serve like Jesus. Be available, be grateful, and there's one more we need to talk about this morning. That is, be faithful. Don't give up. Don't quit. So much that we need to study on this one, but I'm going to cover it briefly. Serving like Jesus means being faithful. And faithful means that you finish your assignment. You don't quit. Don't give up. You know, at the end of His ministry on earth, Jesus made a statement. And it's recorded in John 17, verse 4. He said to the Father, He prayed and He said, I have glorified You on earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. Can we say that? Have you finished the work that He's given you to do? Have you finished it? Then you're not done yet. And if you're still breathing, if you're still kicking, you've still got work to do for the Father. At the end of my ministry days, I want to be able to say that same thing. As the Lord is receiving me up to heaven, I want to be able to say, God, I was faithful to do what You called me to do. Jesus was faithful and fulfilling his service. He didn't quit. I want to be like Jesus. And if you want to be like Jesus, you'll serve as long as you're alive. Now, you may retire from your job, dear people, and I know that there's a number of folks here who are retired. But I'm going to tell you, you might retire from your job, but you will never retire from ministry. It always hurts my heart to hear somebody say, well, now that I'm retired, I'm going to let them young folks do stuff at the church. Listen, we need our retired folks. They've got more time and more knowledge and more ability than the younger folks who are still trying to take care of jobs and children and spouses. I wonder how many people God called when they were very, very young compared to those that he called when they really were much older. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter how old you are. What matters is, are you still breathing? And I've had people to ask me, Pastor, I can't do anything. Why am I still here? I don't get it. And I'll say, I'll tell you, I know one reason why you're still here. And they'll say, what's that? And I said, you need to pray for me. Pray for your pastor. Man, of all things, I need an Aaron and Hur to be holding up my arms during the battles. Amen? Now, there's much more to do than just pray, but man, prayer is such an important ministry. We need to come back to that one another time. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, it is required in students that one be found faithful. Folks, if we're not careful and intentional, much of what we do in our everyday life won't matter. Much of what we do each and every day probably won't even matter next week, much less for eternity. But anytime you serve in Jesus' name, anytime you do anything in Jesus' name, anything you say, anything you do in Jesus' name, it matters. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, throw yourself into the work of the master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. Anything you do for God matters. Now, I want you to notice that word that was used there. It says nothing. It says nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. You know what that means? It means everything and all you do, even the little stuff, matters. Because in God's book, there is no small service. Amen? You never know when the tiniest thing is going to make an eternity of difference. Years and years ago, there was a man who was preaching a service. And there was a number of people coming and getting saved. And one of the ushers noticed that a young teenage boy had come down and he kind of lingered around the edge, and there's nobody there, so he started to leave. And that usher thought, well, we'll probably get to him another time or maybe. And the Spirit of God came on, and he said, I need to go talk to him. He went to that young man, and he started talking to him about what the pastor had said. He led him to the Lord, and that's where Billy Graham got saved. Do you think it was important that one more young man was brought into the fold that night? So that millions could be reached with the gospel through a man like Billy. Mark 9:41 says this, I assure you that whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will certainly be rewarded. Do you hear what Scripture says? Even a cup of water in the name of Jesus counts. It is all important. And real servants do every task, even the small ones, maybe even especially the small ones, with faithfulness and dedication because they know it all matters. And you might be saying, well, Pastor, in a church this size, my service really can't count. Listen, first of all, we're not as big as you think we are. Some of you are looking around and you're going, man, I've been in churches that are massive. Man, we're a tiny church compared to some, and yet we're a mega church compared to some others. I've been in churches that were so small that the ladies blushed when the pastor said, dearly beloved. That was a joke. Some churches are tiny and we may seem big compared to them. But dear friends, it doesn't matter what size the church is. What matters is what size your heart is. Will you serve him? And will you serve him with gladness? How will God use you? Watch and see this week if you are not tested to see if God will use you. Maybe even today. God is going to present you an opportunity to serve this week. Will you see it or will you miss it? Will you accept it? And one day you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, don't you remember this time that this happened to you? You go, oh yeah. He said, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? What did you do with your spiritual gifts? What did you do with the abilities that I gave you? What did you do with the freedom that I gave you? What will we tell God when he asks us to give an accounting? Well, Lord, you know how busy I was. You know we had so much going on. I just didn't have time to serve. And God's going to say, wrong answer. That's why I put you there. I didn't put you there to take care of your stuff. I put you there to take care of my stuff. Hebrews 6:10 tells us that God will not forget your service to him. God will not forget your service to his family. God will not forget your love for his family. And God keeps his promise, dear friend. On that day when you stand before him, he will let you know that he remembers when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. You have been faithful in a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Do you have time to serve God? Do you have time to serve others? You know, the most important thing that you will do in your life, dear friend, is to serve God by loving and ministering to his people. Jesus put it this way, Matthew chapter 15, 12 and following. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Let me ask you, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord your God? Would you bow your head? Would you prepare to pray? And would you listen to this? Let me ask you. Let me share this with you. Love for the Master is not some sentimental emotion, dear friend. It's not an emotion that'll sweep over you. Our Lord said, if you love me, obey my commands. Do you love God? Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. So then, dear friends, love for Christ Jesus is a deliberate setting of your will to carry out his commands and to be faithful at any cost. Right now, friend, are you being faithful at any cost? Do you love the Lord your God? Love, dear friend, is the delight of accomplishing our Father's purpose. No matter how challenging it might be, no matter how it takes our time, no matter what it costs us, true love is the delight of accomplishing our Father's purpose. Would you pray right now and ask him to help you to be committed faithfully to accomplishing his purpose? Would you ask him to help you with your gratitude? And would you ask him to help you with your availability? When we truly serve God, dear friends, we're not only blessed ourselves, but others are blessed. Others benefit. Others are cared for. Father, this is our prayer.